Dinger.
Ja. How's it, internet? And welcome back to Two Guys in SharePoint. I'm Odd Modlin, and joining me is... Speechless! Got him!
Oh no. What year is
it? You want to try that again?
I'm supposed to say. No, we're recording. There's no post-editing. So you say, how's it, internet? And then I say, the only SharePoint show... SharePoint show in South Africa where everything is not made up and there are no points. I don't think anyone's actually seen that in real time, right? In video. They've heard us. But they've
heard us.
They haven't seen us. They've heard us. Like 71 episodes of Two Guys in SharePoint. They've heard us. This is the first video. Although we have done some things. But
yeah, we've done a bit of video stuff, but the old school listeners will know it was all strictly audio. We've moved into the new millennium and the new broadcasts, and we're back at it, and I'm psyched. We're a little rusty, but we'll get there.
We're still catering for audio only, so you will still pick up Two Guys in SharePoint on your podcast app of choice, Spotify for podcasters, that's what it's called. And then also Apple Music. And obviously, we're still on SoundCloud for those that have listened to us on SoundCloud. You will still get us there. But for the new kids that want to watch us on YouTube, there is a Two Guys in SharePoint YouTube channel, which we created probably 4 years ago, that will still be there. So we took a sabbatical, Modlin. We took a sabbatical. This is like, and then we took a sabbatical before COVID hit, I think, and we spent the last 4 years in the four seasons of Rona, and with 2024 coming along, we're hoping that it is no longer or not going to be, you know, season five of Rona. It will be a new series of something that has got nothing to do with Rona or tummy bug or whatever version of the flu you currently have. What a roller coaster ride, right? Over the last 4 years, we've seen SharePoint, the SharePoint world, expanded, contracted, imploded, exploded, all of those things. And, you know, it went from fighting with its siblings, and then it settled down to being its own person. And that's for where the world is with SharePoint. SharePoint was sexy, unsexy, and then it became sexy, and we still think it's sexier now with a whole bunch of other things which we'll talk about in the show. For the SharePoint new kids, you know,
SharePoint has always been cool. It's never not been cool. I'm half looking at the show notes. Like, you wrote a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to talk. SharePoint's always been cool. Back in the day, it was the center of everything, right? All your modern work went through SharePoint. And then we branched out to all the Office 365 stuff. And it seems these days a lot of it's moving backwards and everything. Not moving forwards to the same place, maybe is a better way to put it. A lot of this stuff is living in SharePoint again. I think it's great. I think it's perfect. It's a great platform. And we've got a bunch of new front ends to surface that content to where people need it most. And make things easier, because we're in the business of making people's lives easier.
When SharePoint moved to the cloud, remember in the old days, Modlin, you know, back in my days in Rhodesia, SharePoint was everything. There was even that program called Business Critical SharePoint, and people built business critical applications on top of SharePoint, and then we moved to the cloud. And then SharePoint became that that uncle that gets drunk at parties, right? That nobody wants to talk about because people stop talking about SharePoint, right? OneDrive became the new thing and people wanted to migrate their on-premises stuff to OneDrive when it was actually SharePoint, right? And yes. In today's world, it's actually the underpinnings of everything that you touch in the Microsoft 365 world, with the exception of Yammer, right? Even Loop is built on top
all,
of SharePoint.
It all essentially feeds down to SharePoint. But you don't need to know a SharePoint, which is great. We need to know a SharePoint. Normal users don't need to know that, right? So best of both worlds.
Look, also, we've sort of moved a little bit on, although not so much for you. You've just embraced, you know, the Power Platform, Power Apps, and Power Automate as your new fearless leader. Over the last, you know, 3-4 years, you've got strictly come dancing. You did strictly come, you know, Power Automate and Power Apps. You know, forsaking all other products. And Rod even has a YouTube
channel
that's about these things, right?
That's not true at all. I do a bunch of stuff.
A show called Go With The Flow.
Yes. I used to do a lot of work with InfoPath and SharePoint Workflow. Turns out we have better tools for that stuff now. But the essentials are still the same, right? However much things change, they also stay the same. Your data still needs to be clean. You still need to capture data and process data. And we've got new, cool, shiny tools to do it with.
But essentially, it's the same shit 30 years ago. I can't remember. There was someone that was writing the first exams of SharePoint. Back in the old days when we went to like New Horizons and they have 5-day training and then you get the certificate. Yeah. And the SharePoint, the word SharePoint on that cert was actually spelled with a lowercase p, which was quite shocking. Anyhow, so for those that are new, we talk about all things SharePoint, Microsoft Teams, a few other things, and the rest of the stack
Office
in the Microsoft 365 world.
M365, whatever's going to impact your life working in this space.
We've got various segments in the show. We sort of transitioned from this conversational piece. This is also the first episode of the new year and the new look of Two Guys in SharePoint. So we are still rusty, like Rod mentioned. But typically the show will be the intro. We jump into a few segments like in the news. And then we've got a deep dive topic of the week. This is also a fortnightly show, so you'll be receiving updates every second week. Not like the website says. The website says it's your weekly show. So please look out every 2 weeks for a new episode being published. We do in the news, and if we don't have a guest on the show, we'll choose something specific that we believe is topical, and we'll do a little bit of a deep dive. And we are doing that on this week's episode. This bi-weekly episode of Two Guys in SharePoint. We've also got a segment for noteworthy things. So please reach out to us on the interwebs, mainly on X, right? If you think of any noteworthy things that you want us to talk about. And then begrudgingly, Rod still has his segment called Go With The Flow.
Which will be
it was the PowerShell one, and that's still the go with the show. All right, are we ready to jump into in the news? I'm actually going to get an audio thing that says in the news, and we'll introduce that, right?
We can have a little title
card. All right, so what are we looking at, Martin?
First segment in the news,
so
there's a couple great roundups. There we go. There's a couple great roundups they do called the roadmap pit stops. And there's one they've put out for SharePoint and one they've put out for Teams. So we can chat through some of that stuff. You can go find them yourself as well if you would like to.
We love Mark Ashwin, and he's got a podcast called The IntraZone by Microsoft 365, The IntraZone Podcast. And they talk through quite a few of these things. We'd like to add our own spin onto the interpretation of these things because we are nonpartisan. We are not biased. We're not employed by Microsoft. So we can have a staunch opinion on whether or not we actually like these things. First up, SharePoint e-signature.
I think it's a great idea, right? Having electronic signatures built into the 365 platform is great. most businesses that are really engaged with this sort of thing are probably using a third-party provider, and Power Automate does have hooks into all of those, but having it all in line and in the platform is really handy.
Look, I do think that it's a pay-as-you-go service, right? So for those that have been using DocuSign and Adobe Sign, I'm not sure how competitively priced this is, but having it pre-baked into the product it goes a long way when it comes to actually going through it and making sure that these things actually work. Next up, Stream. Add a survey poll or quiz to... This is the new Stream, right? Not the artist previously known as Stream, right? Yeah, this is stored somewhere in SharePoint. It's no longer that Stream service.
Yeah, and it's not actually a Stream, right? This is for pre-recorded videos. Not actually a Stream, but you can have a bunch more viewer interaction built into your videos, which if your business is doing a lot of internal video content, this will obviously be very much the larger organizations. That's some very nice stuff that you can up the engagement, get the feedback, do all of that stuff. So it's very handy. I think it's quite a niche use case, but if you are in that niche, you're going to be very happy about it.
I suppose if you are actually, you know, recording a town hall, like the example here, right, or recording anything, a Teams meeting, and you're uploading it to Stream, and you want commentary from people that you're actually working with, specifically around what did people think of the video after they've watched it, because typically you can do this inside of a Teams meeting, right? You can have polls and all the other bits and pieces, but that's real time. What about the audience that's going to watch the recording, right? How do we go about collating their thoughts and opinions? And this is a great way to actually get that after the fact. So I'm super excited. Look, Copilot, who would have thought, right there. I'm excited about this for what it means to people, you know, and it's previewed in the Stream web app, not Stream for SharePoint or whatever they're calling it today. And it is quite exciting. The same with being able to add a hyperlink, also another Stream update.
And it seems
like Microsoft is it's not a free, not frozen. No. I do think the hyperlink is cool when it's noteworthy information around what this video is talking about, and you can actually add that. Are they putting the
Especially theme? If the hyperlinks and text callouts are particularly useful if you're using this to relay training data, right? If you're making training videos that goes across a few different products or that sort of stuff, when they get to that point in the video, you can give them the hyperlink to click it and open it, and they can actually start doing it, which is handy.
Modlin, you know that we can actually see the recording time now, right?
Yeah, we can.
Since 2016, Rod has always said we need to keep the show under 43 minutes. So we will attempt to keep the show under 43 minutes. And we are...
Back in those days, I used to edit these things.
he's officially stepped away from having to, you know, edit. But we're not going to have a blooper reel anymore, Modlin. The blooper reel is gone.
No, I guess not.
And that's quite sad. Yeah, because I used to vape on these shows, right?
Yeah, and I had to cut all of those out. It's freaking horrifying. So now you guys just get to hear all of that. And in the YouTube comments down here, if Al does something dumb or I say something stupid, whatever it is, drop the time code in there. And maybe at the end of the year, I'll go through and actually clip all those out and we can do a compilation of dumb stuff together at the end of the year. But that's up to you guys.
Full screen, it's
up to you. You've got to give us time codes in the comments or else I'm probably going to be too late.
So, Modlin, are you going to moderate the comments though? Because I see you putting up your hand saying, hey, please.
I will read all the comments for sure. No, I will read every comment you put down underneath here. Give us the engagement, man. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, ding. The algorithm likes engagement. Tell me I'm an idiot. Tell me I look like a dumbass. Whatever it is. Negative engagement.
Like, what's it like? Something and subscribe. I can't remember what that is. Moving on, Viva Engage API.
Yes.
Ooh. You know, there's now an API for Viva. Well, there's an API for Viva Engage. I've worked with other APIs in the Viva stack, specifically around Viva Learning. I'm going through the, strangely enough, Rod, I'm not doing PowerShell. I've jumped straight to Grok stuff. And it's actually quite cool what you can get out of Grok
these days. Now, the graph is great, and it seems to be more supported recently than the PowerShell stacks. Seems to be getting more love from a development point of view.
The debate rages on between myself, Martina Graham, and Lauren Strait around, are PowerShell people moving to Graph? Right? Is it a theme for the stuff that we do? I'm not talking about the infrastructure people. I'm talking about the stuff that we do, right? And both of them are saying on X that, yes, you know, the traditional consultants or the administrators in the Microsoft 365 world should start learning about Graph, because there's a lot of things that you can actually do with Graph. So I'm quite excited about being able to create, in this case, you have now the ability to, you know, create Viva Engage communities from an API. So you could build a Power App, invoke the API, and then create it from a form perspective, which is quite neat. So I'm quite excited about that. And then a sort of a retro on what shipped in 2023. Anything in this list that you are excited about, Rod?
The loop stuff is always interesting. I don't have any clients, nor am I using it myself currently, but I think that's a very interesting way of work that I haven't really done it. The OneDrive sharing stuff is great and terrible, as any sharing mechanism in modern work always is, right? It's great. People can share stuff. That's awesome. People need to be able to share stuff. The problem is then they share stuff and you have to deal with who's been shared to and how do I unshare it and why didn't I do it properly? And so streamlining that, and they've done a lot of work in the last year specifically of bringing that to the same place across multiple platforms, right? So it looks the same and acts the same. So that's really cool. Mm.
Well, it's loop components and not loop workspaces. And I think, you know, in one of our episodes, we'll probably do a deep dive into loop. What is a component? What is a workspace? Are they different? And what they actually do? And then also, you know, what's the governance around loop, which is quite a big topic. For me, it's not listed in their top five. SharePoint Advanced Management, man. That's the stuff that they're doing in it's called SAM now, right? You know, they had this weird Project Cortex, SharePoint Syntex. Now they're calling it SharePoint Advanced Management. And then also what's not in here is SharePoint Embedded, which I'm quite excited about. And we'll probably deep dive into SharePoint Embedded. We'll get Andrew Connell onto the show and ask him to talk to us about he just published a video on that. And we'll get him as one of the guests. I'm not sure if we actually did interview him over the last 8 years. It's 8 years, wasn't it? 8 years. We might have interviewed him. Moving on, I think the most talked about OneDrive update is the OneDrive app now in inside of Teams, and all the new things that they've sort of squeezed into that, right? So they've got that the browse by people in meetings, which I really, 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 really like, because it's not just about the content that's stored inside of OneDrive. It's sort of the single place of entry into what actually is happening to you, around you, and with you inside of Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, but bringing that surface right straight into Teams is really handy. It's one of the things Teams does really well, is bringing all these disparate pieces of information into the same place. It's great. And just having that consistency of interface, so you don't have to tell people, go here, do this, then go here, do this. You can just get in one place. Absolutely awesome.
I think we did an episode of when they launched Teams, right? I remember I was still in Joburg in my flat in Highveld, and I remember them launching Teams. It was a soft launch, and then they pulled it back for a couple of months, and we gave them shit about that. But I do think Teams has come full circle as the, you know, not the gateway drug into Microsoft 365, but having a front end now with added OneDrive, which I'm very excited about, so that you have everything in one place.
Awesome.
Open an app, I don't care. Do you care about that?
A lot of people want to use the apps. I often want to use the apps themselves, so just making that easier. Anything that makes an end user's life easier means we don't have to worry about it as much, and it's good. This is the kind of quality of life changes that I'm really happy about.
Quality of life. My mom's 87. I get what quality of life looks like, right? And I suppose for OneDrive being as old as it is, we do have to care about quality of life. Backup public preview. I don't know. Hey, backup. Yeah. And also, they've got the archiving service now as well.
Yes, archiving is a big thing. Backup is a big thing. Like if you are really worried about backing up your data and doing all of that, I think you probably want to do it. You want to diversify your product stack and not just have it in the same thing. But that's a discussion to be had, right, on a case-by-case basis. For the vast majority of companies using O365, M365, it's largely irrelevant.
And that's been the topic of discussion we've been having over the last 12, 18 months with customers around, well, you've got a backup solution. And all these backup providers, AvePoint, Veeam, Veritas, Commvault, the Metallic stuff, and a few others, RedStore, they've all got a plugin or a connector into, and that's what the APIs are for. They've got connectors into Office 365, and they provide you the service. I like AvePoint backup because they've got a bot that would do the restore for you, and I think it's called Ava, and I think that is by far ahead of the rest of the backup solutions. Whether or not it's going to be cost effective, including, and you'll notice that it does SharePoint, OneDrive, and Exchange, not Teams, which is interesting to note. Although some of the team stuff sits in the substrate, which is Exchange.
All your documents and stuff, that's all actually SharePoint backend. So you'll pick that up in your SharePoint backup. But it gets a little weird about how you do it. But yeah, I'm interested to see how much pickup that built-in backup actually has.
This is the only one I care about. SharePoint embedded, right?
Yeah.
The headless side of things, you know. We've had conversations with customers to move them off a Documentum or an extended ECM for SAP, which is LiveLink. And what SharePoint doesn't have is a many-to-many relationship from an object level. So in Documentum, you can have multiple constructs of metadata, right, associated with the same object based on how people view it. Whereas SharePoint, one content type, yeah? And then you've got 400 columns for metadata. So I'm very excited about what SharePoint Embedded or the features that SharePoint Embedded is going to give developers, especially when customers are wanting to move off some form of integration using LAPI, LiveLink's API, or AppWorks, or LR Builder, when they integrated, you know, SAP into, although the extended ECM's got their platform there, or Documentum. So I'm quite excited to see what customers are going to start doing with SharePoint Embedded now that they know that, A, they can migrate out of Documentum or LiveLink or FileNet, you know, pick an ECM product that Rod and I have worked with enormously. We actually built a product. Rocco built Humming. We called it Humming Point. Remember that when we migrated that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Who was it? Yeah, we literally built a product to migrate out of Hummingbird and into SharePoint. And with this, you can offer the user experience that same front end, a broker at an insurance company wanting to see documents stored in SharePoint, and you can provide that service. Obviously, you need to put some sort of role-based access control on top of that, but you get all the richness of SharePoint, versioning, audit trails, all the security and compliance stuff with that, but it's headless. There's no front end. And now you can offer that solution to organizations that want to move off your legacy ECM systems that have that specific requirement. Loop, yep. The domain's changing now. And this is specifically around workspaces, right? As well as the recent components and pages that you actually have these things embedded on. So that's pretty cool. I like Loop workspaces. I do think that Microsoft is trying to clone Notion. I use Notion. And I'm excited to see what they're going to have to build a template ecosystem if they're really going to take on a platform like Notion when it comes to Loop workspaces and, you know, collating data. Hopefully one day, I don't know if they're going to be replacing OneNote with Loop workspaces because, you know, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I
don't know if you have an opinion.
OneNote, leave OneNote alone. OneNote does what OneNote does, right? I hate the software thing of, oh, we've got this great product that does this thing awesome. Let's spend 10 years adding crap to it until it falls over. No, let OneNote do OneNote. Awesome. Have some OneNote components that you can add like to Loop, right?
You can put a Loop component inside of OneNote, yeah, right?
And you can put a Loop component in there and like, so they can play together. But if we need a notes app that just takes notes, like that's the thing that we need. So let's
Loop workspaces like takes notes, man. Anyway, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's a future deep dive, but yeah.
See, products do die. Products do die. Look at that. Dalv is going away. So
Dalv is going away. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know really anybody who's been using it a lot. Away. So
don't be knocking.
OneNote going away would make me sad.
It's also, you know, what that world looks like. There's some stuff coming. And we've seen this announced last year already. You know, real-time co-authoring of SharePoint pages, which is pretty cool. Amplify is coming, which is neat. Also, the Publish to Viva Engage is not there. So if you are some sort of preview for Viva Amplify, which is neat around campaign management for your HR team and, you know, your marketing or your internal communications team, you can now start using Amplify to publish campaigns, create campaigns with templates, publish that to your newsfeed, to Teams. And what's coming is Viva Engage, which is pretty cool. The rest, I'm not too fussed about profile cards. It doesn't really matter. Loop components in a Teams chat. Yeah. All right. So is that a wrap for SharePoint? Do we have time to delve into Teams?
Yeah, let's run through the Teams quickly and we'll hit up our deep dive topic very quickly and that'll probably be the size of it.
Teams T2 for VDI, which is quite cool. Why I like it, right? And I've spent quite a bit of time talking to customers that are have their VDI environment, usually like in Horizon View or Citrix. And in the old days, the tricky part there was, if you're running Teams, this is long story short, if you're running Teams on top of Azure Virtual Desktop or the AVD or the Windows 365, there's an abstraction layer that actually really does Teams really well, but it was still clunky because of, you know, T1. So they are rolling out T2, which is much lighter, so it means it's lighter on your VDI environment, which is quite cool. So I'm quite excited about that.
That's important.
A custom channel announcement background, that's pretty cool.
That's very pretty.
I like that.
That's works. Pretty. I don't know. Like, it doesn't really matter, but yeah, it's pretty. Looks good.
I think it's valuable if you're making an announcement with it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Ooh. For the communications teams, that's going to be great.
We're not going to talk about search in Teams.
I mean, that's search a whole never topic worked inside in of teams. Itself, right?
So we're just going to skip past it. Most call activity, don't care. File app updated, because most of the time people forget to check the little presence icon when they hit call, right? And I'm in a call and they're trying to call me. And I'm like, well, guys, look at the little, you know, caller key there. If it is red, or if it's red with a line through it, look at that before you just go.
Yeah.
Updated files app. We've spoken about that. I don't know what this domain specific thing is.
So if you're running multiple domains across a tenant, right, you can search in specific ones. Again, quite niche, but if you are a giant corporation that is running multiple domains and you're stitching stuff together, that will be useful for you.
For pilot, webinars and town halls.
More Copilot stuff, webinars and town halls, as you say.
They are depreciating. They were depreciating things, right? I don't know what a controlled content meeting is. That's new. They were depreciating. What was it? They were depreciating something. Right? But the fact that you can now do it from Outlook is great, because you usually had to go do that from. You could only create a Teams meeting in Outlook. You couldn't select it with a meeting type. Yeah. So that's.
I thought that was largely fine, because you're doing a bunch of more complicated configuration for that meeting, because it is a more complicated meeting. So you might as well go to a more fully featured experience.
Well, it's like having the meeting options in Teams, which it's not been recently added. It's been added, but being able to, in the old days, you had to create the meeting and then it opens up a separate page and then you have to change, allow everyone to bypass the lobby. You now have that meeting options inside of Teams. Yeah. So it's these little things, and 400 little things is one big thing, right? Making Teams better. Do we care about phone? Are we ever going to talk about Teams phone on this call? On this,
we should get somebody on who really understands it. I don't do telecom stuff myself, really. I'm not particularly interested in all the hardware stuff and whatever.
Is that the same for Teams meeting rooms or Teams rooms and Teams room devices? I mean, it's cool shit, but
I don't think, it's quite a niche product, right? I personally am not working with a bunch of people who are using all this stuff, right? Most people are mostly remote. Eh?
I know a couple of people that have these neat boards, right? Tom, who is a future guest on the show, and if we want to talk about Teams devices, Teams device deep dive, Teams room deep dive, we'll bring him on. He's got a couple of these kits and a few of John and Andy. They've also got some cool kits that they have actually in their offices at home that they've been using, and it's super cool, especially for Teams. But I mean, we're not going to talk too much about it. If you want to know more about it, head over to this is the December, what's new in Microsoft Teams for December 2023, and you can actually, and we'll probably leave these links in the YouTube description as well. So you can just click down below if you want to get to all of these things. Collaborative apps.
If you do want us to chat about this sort of stuff, tell us in the comments.
Comment down below. Yeah. Collaborative apps. Are we even going to? This is a South African product called Autopilot. Yeah. Out of Durban. I forget. Andy Shapiro. He was a director at Pilotfish, and they built Autopilot a good couple of years ago, like pre-COVID. I'm assuming this is his thing, right? Autopilot, because that's the name of the company, and they're doing some cool stuff there. Carbon neutral.
This is a bunch of
Datadog, another product. We've seen that. That's a security product and a whole bunch of other third-party products that integrate into Microsoft Teams. That's now available in the App Store, even Trello, Zendesk, and then a whole bunch of things around frontline worker, which we typically don't, focus on. Some stuff around virtual appointments, which we don't focus on. Teams for EDU. We'll get Jethro Seegers onto the show to talk about Teams for EDU. He's been the PMM, Principal Program Manager. He's one of the PMMs or the PPMs for Microsoft. He's been out to South Africa in 2019, and we'll probably bring him on to one of the shows, to one of the episodes, to talk about Teams for EDU. Because it's
he can also explain all the TLS for us.
I think that's a wrap for what's in the news, right?
In the news. I think so. Like, there's some cool stuff going on, and I'm sure we'll be chatting about it more in the weeks ahead as we start using it, and we'll pick out specific things to go deeper on. Again, what do you guys want us to go deeper on? Let us know, and we'll do that.
We're at 34 minutes, right?
I do know we're at 34 minutes. So our deep dive is not going to be super deep today. But I do have a question for you, Al.
Shoot it.
So the big buzzword for Microsoft at the moment and all over the information technology space is AI, right? What people are calling AI. And I don't really like their branding. I don't like the branding of artificial intelligence because these things are not intelligent. It's spicy autocorrect is really what it is. And depending what you train your spicy autocorrect on, it can do a bunch of different stuff. But it can be very useful. It can be very cool. And there's some stuff I really want to explore with it. Maybe in future we'll do more of a deeper dive onto exactly what all the different things Microsoft is doing with it. I think they've got a very good model, right, where they're taking this thing, everybody was ChatGPT crazy, and they're finding real use cases for it and making it actually useful for people. And the way they're doing that is with very targeted implementations, right? Which is all the different copilots. We have copilots for days these days, right? So, and we'll go into all the copilots. Yeah, that's what it is. And in an enterprise scenario, you want it to be as you want as little spice as possible, right? So
except if you're a Dune person, the spice must flow. House Atreides, dude.
I'm a big Dune fan. I'm a big Dune fan. You know, I'm a massive nerd.
Can't wait, dude.
That's one of... Maybe let's chat about that quickly, right? Because one of the dangers of these generative text AIs is that it's not intelligent, right? It has no concept of what a fact is. If you just go to ChatGPT and you ask it a question, it will always give you an answer, regardless of the factual content of that answer. It doesn't care whether that answer is true or not. It doesn't care. It will always give you an answer. So you can't treat it as truth. Now, depending on how you prompt it, what it's trained on, and what parameters you set up for it, you can make it accurate. And that's what Microsoft's doing with the copilots, right? They're sort of ring-fencing it in so that you get more accurate results out of it, like stuff you can actually rely on, right? And that's all over the place, right? We've got a bunch of AI help for Power Platform. It's in Excel these days. It's all over the place, and it can be very, very helpful. But my question to you is is it practical at this point in the technology's life cycle?
And I suppose it's based on the copilot, right? We've seen at Ignite last year, you know, it was very look under your chair, you know, everyone gets a copilot. So there are various copilots, and I could not find an accurate, someone created a really cool infographic image of copilots, and then it disappeared. It literally disappeared off Twitter. It was there, we saw it, and then someone deleted the post, and it was gone. Right, fascinating. It's like a copyright infringement or something. Now, and that was like in December, so I don't know where that is. I tried to find a graphic that talks about all the copilots, because Microsoft has gone copilot crazy. So the ones that we could talk about today, you know, and how it's split across the Microsoft clouds, we've got Copilot for Microsoft 365 and for most of our users, and anyone that's in the Microsoft 365 space, this is all the rage. All the rage. You've seen Copilot. I think I did a session at the M365 UG on what Copilot for Microsoft 365 was. The different copilots, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, Teams, Teams Premium, and all the recap stuff that you can get for meetings, and, you know, barrier to entry, 300 seat user count, and you've got a license, 300 users at $30 a user, it comes out to like $10,000 a month. So the barrier to entry is really the cost. I do see value in Copilot for Microsoft 365 because it makes tasks shorter, right? Because that's the promise, right? Recap this, build me a deck on that. Now, if you go scroll through YouTube, everyone, all content creators on YouTube have been talking about, you don't need Microsoft 365 Copilot, but here's a bunch of AI tools. I use a platform called Gamma if I wanted to build me slides, right? I tested that, it works great. I've had a look around at Copilot for Microsoft 365. We've got access to a specific tenant. We can actually test these things out. It's pretty cool. It's going to be based on the use case and how you can prove that $30 per user per month
actually useful.
Times 300, you can actually come up with those use cases. That's stupidly expensive. Yeah. It's my only bugbear with the platform.
It is very expensive.
You know, there's a barrier to entry. Look, so
I mean, like, it takes a lot of computers to do it, right? That's why it's so expensive. Running these things in the background takes a huge amount of compute.
Well, not only that, if you think about, and if you look at the Viva licensing, they talk about seeded licenses, right? So if I am the meeting organizer and I've got a Copilot license and I ask and I invite 30 people to the meeting, they get access to the meeting recap features.
Yeah.
Even though they're not licensed. Yeah.
So you've got to identify right people in your organization who can really take advantage of the tools. And
it's not a seeded thing where other people, you know, it's like conditional access, right? You get one Azure P2 license and it's conditional access for everyone. And you've got 10,000 users. You should license that, but you don't because, you know, these sort of like, not loopholes, but caveats in the platform. And it's probably why Microsoft, but it's all speculation because Microsoft hasn't come back with the reasons why. So that's the one for M365. There are other co-pilots. I think the first co-pilot was the GitHub co-pilot. You know, improve the way you write in code. This was the first co-pilot that was launched before all the others. Before there was this crazy craze.
It does. It does code quite well. There's all sorts of moral issues about like what data it's been training on and all that sort of stuff. We're not going to talk about that. But for this sort of stuff, it's particularly useful. I think the co-pilots that are going to be most useful for people is stuff like this, co-pilot in Excel. So here's a spreadsheet of data, help me analyze it, right? And like in Power
Apps, pivot table,
I need to pull this data, that data, what's my formula to do that? I think those, at the outset, those ones are going to be the most useful.
In the security space, there's security co-pilot. So if you're doing threat hunting or whatever that world looks like for, you know, the EDR, XDR, everything, DR people, the detection and response teams inside of your organization, the SOC analysts, so that, hey, there's a risky login, go and find out where this person has actually logged in and what have they touched, yeah? So instead of writing that KQL that, you know, the Microsoft people are all crazy about KQL Ninja this and Ninja that, right? With Rod Trent and everything that he's doing around KQL, this actually sort of supersizes. You don't need to know all of the KQL to actually go do some accurate threat hunting. Also, bear in mind, we've got a disclaimer on the show that we are not official doctors. So whenever you watch those, you know, shows where there's some medical advice, our advice is just that. It's not, we are our own AI, right? And we are fallible. So for the SOC analysts out there, and do not stop learning KQL and use this. Please don't do that.
No, absolutely. And for any business that like looking at this sort of stuff, any of these co-pilots anywhere, they are not replacing people in your organization. You cannot cut down on the number of security professionals you have because you're implementing security co-pilot, right? It's going to make those people more efficient and help them do their jobs more efficiently and better. But you still need a real person who's actually intelligent because AI is not intelligent. Yeah. It is artificial, but it's not intelligent. So the last little bit on this, what is the one thing you're most excited to get into along with all these co-pilots? AI tools.
Copilot Studio, dude. Copilot Studio. You can keep all your other copilots. I was on the Ignite live stream and they asked me the same question you just asked me now, right? Copilot Studio. You can build your own copilots. That's proper, right? And, you know, they talk about LLMs, large language models. They talk about medium language models, MLMs, and they talk about small language models. Scott Hanselman, I can never pronounce his surname right, he's been talking quite a bit about SLMs, and it seems to be all the rage, right? Because you've got a smaller body of knowledge that you want to use to train things, and it's more accurate, right? Yeah. The larger the larger language
model. That's really handy for business. Computational, right.
Yeah. So I'm quite excited
if you can, if you can point to large of these. Yeah, if you can point a large language model at your content, right, as a business, say, here's all my policies and procedures, whatever, and you can point it at it, and then your users can actually ask questions and it can give real definitive answers based on that pool, that's amazingly powerful. That's really powerful.
Also think about the cost, right? If you can use a small language model, which is a concise bit of information, the cost to run that SLM is going to be cheaper. And then we start talking about stuff like ML ops and, you know, because companies have content, right? But building a copilot and attaching it, and there's a ton of connectors. I think there's over 2,000 connectors currently available into applications that you can actually extend the capabilities of these Trellos or whatever these applications are, and use the Copilot Studio to build a Copilot or some sort of generative AI based on a body of knowledge sitting inside an application or even in a database, and you can actually filter that. So this is the most exciting part of the Copilot revolution in Microsoft for me.
Yeah, that's very cool. Me personally,
is that our wrap for AI?
I just want to say what the thing I want to do most is, because you didn't ask, because you're just like that. It's fine. Michael O'Donovan made an offhand comment on how if you're building a big, complicated, automated process, you could just hand off all the decision making to a large language model, right? If you build the prompt properly and you give it all the context, instead of having to build a giant, like, 30-switch process, you could tell a large language model about it and it would be able to give you the outcome, which would be a fascinating way to automate some processes. So at some point, I want to try that.
Our robot overlords, I think we've got a Twitter handle that says... Don't know, Monty.
I, for one,
Didn't we have a like Skynet Twitter account as well for two guys? You have been saying that for years. And it's worrisome, right? That you embracing.
I have been saying it for years. Yeah.
Yep. There's two guests, Skynet AI. I'm sure there's a Twitter handle. And for those, Rod foretold it. Rod foretold what's going to happen. He is one of those people that can see into the future. I saw a picture of Terminator that in 1984, 40 years later, that's where we are right now, 1994. What is it? 1984, right? They said that shit was going to happen in 2024. Coincidence? I think not. All right. Is that a wrap for our deep dive topic of the week? We are burning daylight. More than 43 minutes of recording time.
Yeah, let's run this through to the end and get this in under an hour for our very
kind. Okay, under 60 minutes, right?
Viewers.
So, audience. Closing up the last bits of the show, listeners, viewers, audience, yeah? In this week's noteworthy things, we are back to regular programming with all the user groups. Modlin might come back to the M365 user group. We don't know if he's ready for that yet. I'm putting it out there live or pre-recorded on Two Guys and SharePoint YouTube show.
I'll start attending for sure. How's that?
Okay. So as most people know, we've moved the Microsoft 365 and the security compliance and identity management user groups to the third week of most months, right? And in January, we're kicking off with the M365 UG on the 26th of Jan. Check your inboxes because we'll publish the meetup event soon. And then the SEI UG starting again on the 27th, Wednesday and Thursday. The Azure UG is not too sure what's happening there. I know there's an in-person one on the second Tuesday of every month at Microsoft for Community Night. I don't know what's happening with the online version. We'll let you know once we know. And that's our noteworthy things of the week for today's episode. Rod, and then to close off the show, we go back to Rod's Go With Flow, which is now a permanent fixture, I'm assuming.
Yes, so this is my little bit where I just get to talk about some random stuff that I found useful recently, whether it's Power Apps or Power Platform in some way usually. This time, I will let you know that somebody put together an approvals kit for Power Automate. If you want it, you can get it at aka.ms/approvals kit. And it's an extension, basically. It's a bunch of apps and flows that purport to make the approvals function in Flow better. Because the standard approvals actions are insufficient. They're not very good. They're fine for end users, but we, right, anybody listening to this, you should know how to do it better. So there we go. You can go check that out, and that'll give you some ideas on how to do that. And yeah, I think
I actually that saw is that
going to wrap us up for today. Yeah,
no, 50 minutes. I saw the approvals kit. Super excited for the team to actually look at that, and it's a neat way to get past the Microsoft Teams approvals thing that sort of launched, and then I don't know, three people on the planet used it, and it's still kind of there, yeah. But it's not really great. And I think this goes a long way into sort of circumnavigating what actual approvals should be inside of your platform.
Yep. So that is the Power Automate built-in approvals mechanism, right? And it's, as most things in Power Platform, if like it is built for a business user. A business user can open Power Apps, hit a button, and just make an app, right? It's not going to be a very good app, but it'll get the job done. Same thing with the approvals. Basic user can hit the button, make an approval. It's not going to be great, but it'll get the job done. Oof. We get called in when it needs to do real heavy lifting.
Yeah. I'm not even going to, a business user can just go into Power Apps, right? That worries me. Let's wrap up the show, Martin.
They can just push a button. But I'm sure we will talk about that. App, yeah? We will talk about that loss in the future.
All right. Well,
so we're going to sign off.
Kicking off 2024. Yeah, we are going to sign off. This is what you do, Rod. I'm just going to add that and say thank you for watching.
I didn't want to cut you off.
You normally do.
Yeah. So thank you all very much for joining us. If you do want to see more of this, you can find us again in a couple of weeks to catch up on all the stuff we're doing. You can find us online, twoguysinsharepoint.co.za. You can find us online. I think it's Two Guys in SharePoint. If you search for it, it'll come up. We are on Twitter at Two Guys SharePoint. I'm, I guess, still on Twitter, on X, at Oddmodlin. L is...
I'm Alistair Pugin, and please reach out. This is a new format for us, so we will try and monitor if we actually get people to watch the YouTube show, right? This is new for us. We will monitor the comments. If you have any suggestions, anything, likes, dislikes, please smash it in the comments down below. And as Rod said earlier on, he will be moderating this. Happy 2024, Mr. Modlin.
Happy 2024. So glad to be back at this, man. This is going to kick ass. Yeah. Sweet, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.
What is it?
Don't forget to be awesome.
Like, link, and subscribe. What is that thing? Share, like, link, subscribe. We are official YouTubers now. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Ciao, ciao.
Lekker.